The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. We were reading that last night in Isaiah 35. We're going to go on to Isaiah 41 now, on the second portion, the B portion of this program. This program is the fifth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and we're recording this before that time, back in the year 2010. You can play it every year if you want. You just want to get the scriptures. I just want you to get those scriptures out of there. Isaiah 35, which we read. Revelation 19, which was last night. Isaiah 35 and chapter 41, 44. Psalm 19. Exodus 21. Leviticus 23, Nehemiah 8, John 7, and there'll be more. Those are all listed up on the website on the text portion, if you wanted to just print out those notes, and then try to remember to take those sheets with you to the feast, or take along your netbook or laptop or something. That way you can just follow along and have your notes. And we'll also have to explain why that we have to go somewhere, because some don't think they have to. Some can't go anywhere there because of health, or perhaps they weren't prepared with a second tithe. They didn't even hear about a second tithe until a month or two before the feast, and they just weren't prepared. So we'll go over the Hag, Chag, and Hagag, those three Hebrew words, the definitions that are in the scriptures we're going to read. In Leviticus 23, says, you know, keeping the feast, some of those words will be hag. Oh, well, we'll do it later when I get there. I'm wanting to get ahead of myself. Isaiah 41, then, in verse 4 in Isaiah, as we're reading a little bit here and a little bit there, line upon line, and giving the explanation as well, as they did, as Moses did, as Nehemiah gave the explanation and read various scriptures from the Word. From Yahweh is the Word. The Messiah is the Word, it says in John chapter 1. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Yahweh, and the Word was with Yahweh. The Word was Yahweh, or the HaMashiach, the Messiah. So the Messiah, you know, the Messiah is the Word. He's not, ink on paper, you know, black ink on paper, or red ink either, but that's our faith. He said our faith is in the words that he inspired the prophets to read. And then you could go on and ask, some people say, well, how do we know that they were inspired? Well, that's a different study, okay, but and I have to admit that part comes by faith, but it also, if you believe in the book, the Shack, or some New Age theory, or you trust in somebody other than Yahweh, then you got to have faith to do that, don't you? You have this blind faith to believe that UFOs landed and so on, you know, or that spirits are walking around the house. People think about that. Hey, go away, please go back, go right now. Thank you. Our animal there wants to be a part of the program. Just sit down. And sometimes she likes to, now here I'm talking about the spirits walking around the house. She's thinking that she wants to be a part. She actually will go woof at the end of our prayers. But I don't really know if she comprehends anything. But anyway, yeah, now I know you'll lock me up. Huh? Isaiah 41:4. Can we please read that? Just that one, and then go on. Who has wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, Yahweh, the first and the last, I am He. As they say in Greek, the Alpha and the Omega, and in Hebrew, the Aleph and the Tav. I would prefer that, the Aleph and the Tav, or T-A-U. The first and the last, I am He. Now, that pronoun, the verb am is in italics here in my King James, so to make the sense that they inserted that. But, you know, it could say I, he, so that you would know if they didn't put that verb in there. But I am he. And that's talking about our Savior. He is the Word. And I am he, the first and the last. It says right here, Isaiah 41. And then in verse 17 through 20, or verses, he's talking about the future here in the Feast of Tabernacles, which we hope that you're enjoying. If you're not, I wouldn't crack a ruler over your knuckles, but I'd say, where's your spirit? Your praise proof. Or maybe you have so many burdens that we just here need to lay hands on you there in the name of Yavahosha. There, all your bills are paid and all your worries are done away with. No, he doesn't act that way necessarily. When the poor and the needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, Yahweh, will hear them. Oh, so he said he does hear us about that. So that was wrong. He will hear us if we are in imbibing, or if we're in him. I, the mighty one of the Hebrews, will not forsake them. He will not forsake you. You're not Greek, are you? So you must be of what is called here Israel, or I prefer to say the Hebrews or the northern tribes. You are. You're not even a grafted in stranger. You are Hebrews. You are grafted in Hebrews. You're grafted in. Oh, excuse me. You are the Hebrews. Okay. And the reason for that is because you are saved, right? If you're saved, then you're definitely a part of him, of Yahweh the Messiah, the good olive tree. Now, I know that makes sense. Yahweh is the good olive tree. It's not the Hebrew people who are the tree. It's Yahweh that we want to be either grafted into, or, you know, be a part of, be a branch there, or a twig, or something. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the cypress tree. It says in the King James another word, but that is to be confused with the common language. So the cedar, the cypress, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. I don't think he means semi-desert. He means in the desert he's going to just switch things around. Or he'll make the dry ground a pool of water in the wilderness there. Pool of water in the dry land. He'll make springs of water. We're reading here in Isaiah 41, the big, what I call the Feast of Tabernacles book, that they may see. So he's doing this. He's turning the desert into a wonderful garden. Not too poetic today. That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of Yahweh has done this, and the separated one of the Hebrews has created it. Produce your cause, saith Yahweh. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob, King of Yaakov. Chapter 44, verse 3. Maybe I can get caught up here and get ahead a little bit. Isaiah 44, 3. Yahweh says again in this prophetic book, looking to our future, to the future of the chosen ones, the Hebrews. And people could say, well, we're not that. We're Greek, you know. Okay, well, if your mother and dad came from Greece, well, then you are. But otherwise, I would certainly think that you came and descended from one of these tribes. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. One shall say, I am Yahweh's. Or it says here, L-O-R-D-S, I am Yahweh's. And another shall call himself by the name of Yaakov, or Jacob. and another shall subscribe with his hand unto Yahweh, and surname himself by the name of the chosen ones, by the name of the Hebrews. There's three different ways they're going to name themselves. Thus saith Yahweh, the King of the Hebrews, and his Redeemer, Yahweh of the armies, or hosts, it says here, I am the first, and I am the last. The Aleph and the Tav. I am the first and the last, and beside me there is no L, you know, there's no mighty one, if I could use that Hebrew term there. All right. So, who are we talking about? We're talking about the Son of Yahweh, because he is the Word, he is the first and the last, and he is the I Am, the Mighty One. He is the Creator. We're told in Hebrews chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1 that the Son of Yahweh is the Creator of all that we see here. He created this hunk of flesh here that I've been running around with for 60-some years, trying to cope with it. I'm still learning how to cope with it, but so far doing all right. Psalm 19, you know, the statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring for... I think I've got it mixed up a little because I'm doing it by heart. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. So the feast days are true. Now, people argue... I was with somebody just this morning, and he was just striving against what we're just reading here. And, you know, you could go to certain New Testament books and fight and strive and say, I just have the love of JC in my heart. You know, and partially be right, you know, except for the word JC, the name or title JC there. But I don't want to do all that struggling and striving and fighting and arguing and all that, because this is the feast. We shouldn't even have to do that any time. You know, don't strive over the law with me. It's the law is just the law. You know, the Protestant preacher said, you believe in the law of gravity, don't you? And aren't you subject to that? Aren't you subject to, like, Romans 8:7, to the law? So, I don't know. Sometimes we just kind of need to pull back from that fight and just, you know, shove back from the table and say, brother, I've had my fill of that kind of talk and arguing against Yahweh's law when the majority of scriptures are speaking for it. Paul's letters all the way through are listing all kinds of laws. There's probably 200 some laws in Paul's letters alone. They're repeating. They're not making new laws. Exodus 21:1. So, yeah, I was a little bit down, or maybe more than a little bit, because of all this, striving over. Yahweh's not going to regulate my time because I give him every day as a Sabbath, you know. Oh, you don't shop. You never go shopping, or you never go working. No, apparently they're keeping the Feast of Tabernacles every day. Whoa! Praise Yahweh. That'd be great. I want to go out and keep the feast every day. I want to keep the unleavened bread feast. I got to go and unleaven my house every day, you know. I'm going to eat matzos every day, you know, around the year. Well, it'd be good for me, but I probably won't succeed, and I know I'm not commanded to do it. So, since I know I'm not commanded, I don't need to go that far. I know that I will do as much as possible, do what Yahweh gives me to do. Exodus 21:1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. And what are some of the judgments? This is right within the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments. It was actually before this time the law was given. I mean, you have to go back to Genesis. Abraham kept the charge, the statutes, and the judgments. When can I get this right? Cain murdered Abel. That it was a sin to murder someone in those days. So that Ten Commandment law was still in effect even from the very beginning. It was Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And I don't know. I can never find that. I think it's Genesis 26, but I'll probably be wrong, about Abraham. Some of you folks could look at that right away, but I have forgotten, and I just wanted to verify where it was. I hope that's it. Yeah, there it is. Genesis 26:5. Abraham, now he was not saved by obeying Yahweh. He was saved by faith, we find out in Hebrews. But it says, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, what commandments? My statutes, what statutes? There weren't any statutes that were written at this time and up to Genesis 26. And my laws, no? But indeed, it says that Abraham did obey, kept the charge, commandments, and statutes. So it just wasn't codified through Moses yet, 430 years later. Don't quote me on that figure, but it's approximately that anyway, if not exact. Yeah, you're right. So we all have the right spirit. We want to keep the law. So back in Exodus again, the judgments, you had your finger saved there, Exodus 23:14. We have read the Ten Commandments, but that you don't stop there. It continues, Exodus 21, Exodus 22, Exodus 23. That's from Exodus 20 to 23. It's all one law. And then there are more statutes and judgments. Oh no, how will I ever do it? Piece of cake. With Yahweh's help, I can do all things. Yahweh Hosha, which strengtheneth me. I can do it all. I can go to these feasts three times a year. Oh, I can't make it. Oh, I'm almost there. But it's too hard. I'm only a mile from the feast. In my own human power, the Protestant preachers tell me I can't make it to the feast. There's no way that Stephan Yah is going to make it. He's saved, but he's trying to be a Jew. How is he ever going to crawl that last mile to get up there and hear the feast? Convocation there and build a Sukkot. No, it's too much. Let's do away with the law. Say that Jesus did away with the law and leave it at that and just go out and do our own thing. Have our minute. No. That's absurd. And that is contrary to the law. But I'm not going to contend over it. If they want to say it is or it isn't, well, let them do it. So it says in Exodus 23:14, after that explanation, I've got to get my say in there. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Huh, what are you talking about? Three times. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread, and then there's a few instructions there, and the time appointed, the month of Aviv, and that they came out of Egypt, or we came out of sin for us. Skipping to 16, and the feast of harvest, or first fruits, or Pentecost. I don't like to use Pentecost, but feast of harvest. The first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of, and here we go, it's the last feast he's talking about, the feast of ingathering. Now that's us here, the feast of tabernacles, ingathering, or Sukkot, or tabernacles. It's at the end of the year. Well, it's not actually at the end of Yahweh's year, but it's at the end of the season. I think if I had my program open, or if you had a concordance, look up the word year there in Exodus 23:16. You might find out that, I did look it up, and it means age, at the end of the age. So it doesn't mean, at the end of 6,000 years, it doesn't mean that, which is the end of the age, or the age of the harvest. When thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. I got to get so technical here. These people out there are trying every calisthenic they can think of to destroy Yahweh's law. And they sound so loving and spirit-filled when they do it. But I sound like a mean old German, don't I? Well, I hope so. Three times in the year. Three times. Too much. I'm only being facetious. I shouldn't kid around. Three times in the year, all thy males shall appear before Yahweh. And then we read in Deuteronomy 16 that the males bring the family. And mom will probably be the one to drag dad in there anyway. These days, that's the way it works. Is dad doesn't have the conviction or the unction to do anything because he's too busy and tired. And so mom is the only one who has the strength left to take us up to the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, it should be dad doing this. He should do. The dad should, you know, he should be the patriarch. Then people, oh, you got control issues, you know. Okay. All right. You know, we got control issues then. But Yahweh told us to have those issues. He told us to take a little charge there. You don't have to rule with an iron hand. You just have to do your duties and a little more. Hopefully you'll go beyond what you're being told here. You know, not to some kind of extra scriptural way, but at least you're going to be, you know, doing at least the bare minimum by keeping the law here that Yahweh said to keep. And then if time permits and Yahweh allows you to do, we'll go beyond that. But we've got to do the basics Yahweh has assigned to us. And then we're going to have to quit here for a little bit and go to the C file, I think. So I had so much fill, I call it fill material. I hope you enjoyed it. I feel kind of guilty about it. But get all upset about it. No, don't do it again. That's enough. Stop that. Leviticus 23:34, Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, I haven't heard about this until someone told me that we need to keep the covenant. Keep the old covenant? No, keep the covenant. Hebrews 8, Hebrews 10, Jeremiah 31. It's all the same. Keep the covenant that he writes in our heart. And he says, you shall do no. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of the Hebrews, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month, now this scriptural month, 15th day of the scriptural month, or 7th month, 15th day, that was a few days ago, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, for 7 days unto Yahweh. On the first day shall be a pure convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. So that's just for the first day. And as we find out later, for the last great day as well, the 8th day of the feast. Feast drink. Good. The first day is a pure convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire. Now this Yahweh is our offering according to Hebrews 9. But it's still symbolic, and we're to offer our bodies a living offering, pure and acceptable unto Yahweh. It's only our reasonable service. It's only the basics. 7 days made by fire, and on the 8th day shall a pure convocation. That's the last great day. You ever heard of that? I hadn't until 30 years ago or so. There shall be a pure convocation, a gathering together and a speaking together unto you, and he shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. Solemn also meaning rejoice, if you look it up there, the Hebrew word for solemn. Instead of the English word solemn, it could be joyful. So that's acceptable. These are the feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be separated convocations. Not just have it by yourself, but hopefully with others. To offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh, a burnt offering, a meat offering, a slaughter offering, and drink offerings. Everything upon his day. Oh, I thought it was my day. Well, I was wrong. It says here it's his. So get out of the closet, stop going to work there, and come back here, sir. Get in here into this beautiful place everybody's praising and dressed up so beautifully, the women in their colorful dresses and that are very set apart looking, you know, and then they're dancing around, they're doing a little dance before Yahweh, and they're raising hands and they're saying, praise Yahweh, holla Yahweh. 38, verse 38, Leviticus 23:38. Beside the Sabbaths of Yahweh, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings, which you give unto Yahweh, also in the 15th day of the 7th month, So also on that first day of the feast of tabernacles, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto Yahweh 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. So we're just continuing all in one context here. We're getting the picture a little more clearly now. He said, oh, there's two high days, first day and the eighth day. This is exciting. And you shall take on the first day. Well, Brother Stephan, I've never seen him do this. Well, I know, but it says here in verse 40, but you shall take on the first day, and we have done it, we've taken it, the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees. No, not some flag from the store. It's supposed to be palm trees, thick trees, like evergreen, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before Yahweh. 7 days in your Galatianist bondage. That's a joke. It's not bondage. Bondage is sin. And you shall keep it a feast unto Yahweh 7 days in the year. Now the word feast there, if you look it up, it probably is moed, or it could be hag or chag, you know. But as we read, go to the feast, it will, you look up the Hebrew word in the concordance or on your computer program, and it come out that you're to travel and pilgrimage and all that. Okay, later, that's a different program, a different file there, where we explain that, a different text program that we're going to have available for you. Or you can just do the research. You don't even need us, but I'm telling you that it is out there. There's deeper research to be done. And some people are saying, well, I've already done it. I know. Well, okay. Well, then I'm reminding you that you're doing the right thing. You shall keep it a feast unto Yahweh 7 days in the year. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths, your Sukkot. Just a little makeshift booth that hopefully will not cause a lawsuit or anything. You'll get it constructed strongly enough so it won't blow down in a little wind. 7 days, all that are Hebrews born shall dwell in booths. Now, they don't do that either. They'll put up some kind of a lattice work with, you know, nails or screws and things like that. Well, at least they're making the effort. They're getting there. There's a few other things that we haven't done yet. We need to get there someday. It's not hard. It's, my expression is, it's a piece of cake, you know. And it is. It's just like that's just the frosting on the cake. That your generations may know that I made the children of the Hebrews to dwell in booths. Oh, he forced us to do this? Well, when I brought them out of the land of Mitzrayim, I am Yahweh. And Moses declared unto the children of the Hebrews the feasts of Yahweh. Yeah, he declared unto them, he actually was reminding them, because these feasts had been kept for hundreds of years before this time, before the law was actually codified or put into, on the stones there at Sinai, as well as the testimony, the instructions for the construction of the tabernacle and the testimony. That was somewhere in the ark, near the mercy seat or under it, inside or wherever. It really wouldn't matter as long as it's at the ark. It's there, okay? If it's at the ark, if it was in the side of it, then that's okay. Somebody said, well, for me, I'm working as Yahweh commanded me to do. He told me to work 6 days and then take the seventh day off, the Sabbath day, and that's all I'm doing. I'm being obedient. I'm not going out here keeping these other Jewish feast days. My answer to that would be, well, then you better tell Moses and you better tell Paul, because they went out and all of the children through Messiah's time and years after, hundreds of, at least for a few years, generally, then they started going downhill. But you better tell all of these people who have been keeping the feasts. You better tell Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8, then, is a gigantic, huge, not in the thickness of the pages, but a gigantic reminder that they kept the feast, and they were so, you know, they cried and they shouted with joy when they discovered the law. They found it, and they kept these feast days in Nehemiah 8 and back in the previous book, Ezra. And they're just so excited about it, you know. And they should have been, too. Nehemiah 8:14, let me see how long we've been going here. Let me check the time. Oh, we've only been going for half an hour. It always seems like longer to me. And, you know, I don't like hearing my own voice sometimes. Nehemiah, oh, you're being so humble. Ah, be humble. Be glad. But hope my wife doesn't need me in there. She might need some assistance there. We'll have to, like I say, take a brief for everybody who needs a break. We'll have to do that for all of us. Nehemiah 8:14. And there's only a few scriptures here. Continuing with the joyfulness, the spirit of this. People have so much fun at Christmas, you know. They do their man-made holidays, and then they criticize us for doing Yahweh's commanded feasts, making booths, getting the leaven out of the home for unleavened bread. Oh, you got to get every tiny little particle out of every little crack and get your apostolic vacuum cleaner out. And, you better wear that tiny hat and so on, or Yahweh's going to cast you into hell, is their accusation. But, they're making a big thing out of nothing, you know, because it's not nothing. But they are going against the word. They're these, what would I call them, in the 60s, the Berkeley people, you know. Not everybody in Berkeley is to be condemned, but you think of the Berkeley University student who is so intelligent, the intellect and all of his grand knowledge is superior to Yahweh's. Come on, don't be stupid. Don't take time off from your job and come out here for the feast. You're going to lose your promotion, and I did. Or you're going to lose your job, and I did. How do you stay alive? Well, I don't know. We're still alive here. You know, we could have, instead of four cars, we could have 12 of them, I guess. Yeah, I could sell the truck, I guess, for $300. Sell the Chevy. Yeah, it'd probably be worth a lot if you keep it long enough. And they found written in the law, this is Nehemiah 8:14, which Yahweh had commanded by Moses, referring back to what we were just reading in Leviticus, that the children of the Hebrews should tabernacle in, you know, should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. Look up the word dwell there. If that might be that ag or chag word we were looking for. But we're going to do that for sure later. I'll have it down on, I do have it on paper, and I researched it. And they that should publish and proclaim in all their cities. And they didn't have radio in those days, but there were newspapers. Publish and proclaim in all their cities in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written. So they're not like we are. We say, oh, that's too inconvenient. Are we going to get all that? My pastor said, well, that's against the law to be gathering up those greens. You know, you can't be out there. There's got to be a city ordinance. Well, Yahweh's ordinance is higher than his ordinances or the city of Springfield or whatever town, you know. The state isn't going to tell me. Well, they might, you know, they might jail me, but hopefully they won't. The state isn't going to tell me that I'm not going to pick up these palm branches and thick trees and take it to the Feast of Tabernacles, or that I cannot wave them because it's a fire marshal law or something, against the fire marshal's law. They're going to have to try to understand that Yahweh was there first. And even though repercussions from civil authorities could be quicker, Yahweh's hand could be very lasting to us if we don't get with the program. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his... Now, what if we didn't look that word up, house, did we? but we need to look that house up in the concordance. So they're not home at their house, but upon the roof of his house, and in their courts or villages, and in the villages of the houses of Yahweh, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. And they were saying, oh, I can't wait till Paul gets here and free us from this Jewish bondage. No, they were enjoying it. The weather was perfect in Jerusalem. What was it? Last night, I think it got down to 38 or 42 or something. Pretty cool out there. But tonight probably be in the 50s. Maybe it'll be close to 60. That'll be really nice. Yeah, Yahweh provide. You know, winter starts right after this feast. So make booths and sat under the booths, for since that days of Yasha, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of the Hebrews done so. And there was very great bondage. I'm adding to the word, a very great gladness. Boy, I could make a lot of money changing these words, couldn't I? These Bible, writing their new Bibles and stuff. They're making millions of dollars. Some people like that. But no, it says gladness. So let's be truthful and honest with Yahweh. There's gladness. 2 Chronicles 30 as well. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day. He read in the book of the law of Yahweh, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the 8th day was that solemn assembly according unto the manner. And somebody could say, there's no instruction for keeping that 8th day on how to do it. Well, okay, I mean, there are things like in Isaiah, but, the bare minimum, there is instruction. It's a convocation, so that's gathering together of people on that 8th day. There's to be no work on that day, no vacuuming and no, heavy cooking. There isn't any cooking. That's just for unleavened bread only. No, that's what it says there in Exodus 12, is that you can cook on the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the high days, but it doesn't apply to all the other feasts. Or if it does, then you need to build a Sukkoth for all the other feasts too. You need to blow trumpets. You need to fast, as in the Day of Atonement. If one law from another feast day can be transferred to all the others, then they all have to transfer the physical things. So we know that that's true. There's a lot of things that we can do. We can raise hands. We can praise Him. We can read the Word. We can pray. We can help one another. We can enjoy and encourage one another. For heaven's sakes, for Yahweh's sake, and for our sake, that we should do these things. Be excited about it. And keep the feasts. Okay, well, that was Nehemiah chapter 8. And then we see Messiah doing that, keeping that old feast, Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, isn't he? There in John chapter 7. He's keeping that last great day in John 7:37. And we should follow in his steps. Also, we're going to be doing this in the next file, but for those of you who for some reason can't be with us for the next message, it's going to contain not only John 7, talking about the Messiah kept the Feast of Tabernacles. I never heard that when I went to the school, the RCC, the Catholic school. They never talked of, well, if they did, it wasn't emphasized. Acts 18, in AD 52, the feasts are still kept. Now I'm letting the surprise out here by telling you ahead of time, Hebrews 8, Deuteronomy 8, Matthew 4, His word is truth, and that we ought to walk in it. Hebrews 9, what was done away with? What was the added law? Well, we've covered that in quite a few other places here on the website, but the added law, talked about it in Jeremiah 7, 22, and Exodus 20, and Galatians 2 and 3. Those all go together about the added law. He says, I commanded them not about burnt offerings and sacrifices, but this thing did I command them, obey my voice and keep my commandments, statutes, and judgments, the C, S, and J. So that's where we're going to go with that for a little bit. If you want to stick around for the last, I hope you do, for the last part of this fifth-day broadcast, and the day isn't over. There's a lot left to enjoy. You know, we don't just stop here and say, "Yeah, well, you know, service is over. Let's go home and watch football," or let's see, what would we be watching? Yeah, football this time of year. Okay, well, thanks for joining us for the Feast of Tabernacles for this fifth day, or whatever day you're using this file, and I'm glad that Yahweh's blessing you there, and he's going to be protecting your property at home. That's a scriptural thing, too, that we find in the law and the word. Don't worry about finances or the lawyer or Baraco or anybody, because Yahweh is certainly protecting you, not only the feast, but year-round. So bless his name, the name of Yahweh, and Yahweh Hosha HaMashiach, yes, his Messiah. Praise his wonderful name today. And let us sing some songs. Please look up some songs in your book and take 15 or 45 minutes and praise him now for those who can stay. Shalom.